Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we're back.
What's happening, everybody?
Finally, we're back. Once again, we got episode 69
Yes.
of 14,605 and counting.
And here tonight, we have Ms. Marvel number two and Obi-Wan number five.
Part
And with
five.
me tonight, me, hot take Jake. With me tonight, we have Bullseye Rye. I'm just going to go with that. Still Marvel relevant, right? I wanted to surprise you with that.
Bullseye Rye,
Yeah.
which is very relevant because I recently finished the rewatching Punisher again,
That's the
so that's
hey,
very recent.
Marvel relevant, Daredevil relevant.
Which, by the way, speaking of that, if they bring back Punisher, there's no way they can't do it without Jon Bernthal.
It's gotta be Jon
It's
Bernthal.
gotta be
Gotta
him.
be him.
And if they do it, make it Hulu. Don't make it Disney Plus because you can't water it down. You cannot water that show down.
Sure.
So either do it like that or don't do it at all. Just leave it
Yeah,
alone.
yeah.
Yes.
I think if they rock Disney Plus, it's
They can't do this. That's why I said Hulu, because they own that property too. Disney, ABC, like they own
The only thing
they.
that would scare me with that is that they would do that on Hulu and then be like, man, it's not canon.
Honestly, I don't really care if it's canon or not with
I
that show.
do.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
The problem is if they
I don't think
introduce.
though, what like with Punisher, like they can say that it's canon, but like with the way that the MCU is. Yeah, it can be canon, but like how much would he be used in the MCU
Midnight Suns.
because of how violent he is.
Yeah.
Like you know what I mean? Like you
Sure, but I
can't.
mean, you know what they I could this is what they could do, okay? So I mean,
Yeah.
first of all, how are they going to do Deadpool
Eh.
as and put that on Disney Plus? If they're doing that, I think well, okay. What I'm looking at here is if they do Punisher and put him canon, they've got to weave him in. They have to. And he's got to go the route of like if they did Midnight Suns. I don't think he's a part of that originally, is he? He might have been,
Originally, I don't know.
but could do that. Could team him up with Moon Knight and Blade. That'd be slick. Make it an MCU thing, Moon Knight and Blade, and whatever team he's on, you could just like. He could just like join up with the rest of the group and he's like just covered in blood and they're like, we're not gonna ask. You don't have to necessarily show the violence. There's ways to get around it. I mean, they got around it with Moon Knight.
Yeah, well,
Moon Knight
they
was pretty
want
violent.
they would really have to get around it. Yeah,
Don't
they
exactly.
would really have to. That's what that's why I would say, like, if you want to bring them in the MCU, fine, and get around it. But like, if it's its own show, put it on Hulu,
Yeah.
and let it rip.
I mean, especially
Because,
at the end of season one, when he takes out
yeah.
his old CO.
Oh
Whew. Oh my
yeah.
God.
That scene was like, yeah.
I'm like, I think you got him. I really think you got him. You're still going. Okay, I think he's dead. I think you're good. You're still going. Like, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah, but
And
yeah,
that'd
very
be sweet.
relevant bullseye, so yeah.
Bullseye Rye, a trade up, or I'd say maybe it's parallel. I don't know to Hawkeye Rye, but
Yes.
I thought fitting.
Yes.
So,
And then if they do Daredevil season four, we're going way off topic here, but
sure.
we open the door. I would love to see him back in his bullseye form. I just thought
Sure.
those scenes were so cool with him, where he's just like throwing paper clips and you know, pens and stuff like that, and
Well,
just like
I read that that scene in the office,
in the office,
that was a one shot.
Well, that's the thing with Daredevil. There was a lot of one shots,
yeah.
And if they bring Daredevil back, like that was like a hallmark of that show.
Yeah,
was the one shot, like the prison scene, like that was just like incredible in season three. And one shot, like so. Yeah, the one shots, like yeah, they need to do all that again.
Yeah,
so
it'd be, you know, it'd be neat to, if they decided to go with Punisher, and as you said, do something on Hulu so they could get away with being more violent. Do something like Savage Avengers,
because
that's so. Excuse me, that's not on Marvel, the Marvel Unlimited app, because of Conan the Barbarian, because he's not Disney property, so they can't put he's not Marvel or not Disney, whatever reason Conan is not a part of that, so he can't be on the app, so you have to go find and buy the books to read it. But that would be an interesting way to do it. Because Wolverine's part of it, Punisher's part of it. Who else is a part of it? Elektra.
Mm-hmm.
Crap, I'm blanking. But you could do that. You could just be like, "All right, all you violent MFers, here you go. We're gonna do, we're gonna do a show or a movie, and we're gonna put it on Hulu so you can, you know, you can watch it over here."
Yeah. And if they do bring Punisher back, I need the original theme to that. I just love that theme for some reason.
From
Punisher.
Oh yeah, yeah. Theme. Okay.
Yeah, I love that theme. Daredevil, they can change that theme. I didn't, you know, that one's whatever. But like, it's something about the Punisher theme. Like, I just love that. Like, I didn't skip that much through that. Like, I wanted to hear that theme.
Yeah. See, I liked the Daredevil one. But it's one that, like, when it comes on, it's like, okay, skip. Like, let's go. I already know what happens.
Yeah. So.
But speaking of themes, how about the Ms. Marvel intro and everything that they've been doing with that show?
Yeah.
What are your first thoughts? Oh, I spun it on you that time.
Whoa. What are my first thoughts?
Yeah, you'll get me back with Obi-Wan, I know.
So, I thought that this episode, it piqued my interest more. Okay, I'm still not thrilled about her powers and the change, but I'm starting to come around with accepting it, not liking it, but accepting it. Right.
So
there's you know, this is the way it's going to be. Right.
That being said. Should I just throw my hot take in your face right away?
Throw it at me.
Bam! Just throw, right. Get it out there.
Throw it at me.
Here we go. Okay. So we find out Bruno's doing all this, doing his thing.
Yeah.
Getting Kamala ready to go. And he says that he notices that it's not coming from the bangle. It's coming from you. Like the bangle unlocked the superhuman part of you.
Yeah.
Which I had suggested. You know, that instead of an inhuman Terrigen mist, that this is going to be like a key that kind of makes her, you know, okay, she's still got like this inhuman gene or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Here's where it gets a little twisty. Is that what they, is it Swifty that they say on, Rick and Morty? Is it Swifty?
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to get Swifty. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting twisty here though, because. Oh, okay. They reference Kingo in Bollywood. Made it a light reference. Very light reference. But they wonder what happened to her grandma's mom. So there's her great-great-grandma.
Her great-grandmother. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a vision of her and such and such. I think that her... blood, her where it's a part of her, you know, that's her superhuman part.
Yes.
Comes from her great-great-grandma because she was hooking up with Kingo, and Kingo's her great-great-grandpa, and she has Eternals blood, aka Inhumans, because the Eternals were responsible for creating the Inhumans, right? So the route to get to the Inhumans gene is actually through the Eternals human connection. Instead of, and I think that's where it's going to go.
Wow. You just throw a lot at me.
Right, I did. I told you I was going to.
I don't know if I was ready for that hot take in my face like that. Right. Wow.
Okay.
So what you are suggesting is you are telling me that Kamala Khan is of eternal blood.
That's correct. And I don't think it's too far-fetched because Cersei obviously was in a relationship with Dane Whitman. So it's not too far-fetched for some Eternals to be shacking up with humans. And Kingo seems of the persuasion that he loves getting his name out there and being famous. Come on. Come on. So I think that her great-great-grandmother, Aisha, is Kingo's, one of his lovers.
Which could have been suggested because the Illuminantes were talking about how she was, I heard that she cheated on her husband.
And brought shame on the family and all that stuff. Okay. Unless if she had the inhuman, if she had the gene, if she was the one that the bangle belonged to, then it could have been her mother. Or if Kamala's grandmother, who is it, Sana? Is that who she was talking to on the phone?
Yes.
It could have been her bracelet, you know. She, because it said, like, how did she follow the trail of stars? How did she get back to the train before it left the station as a toddler, you know?
Yeah.
So something unlocked with her. She was, you know, but references back to the great-great-grandmother Aisha being, bringing shame on the family and everything. Also, I'm going to take it another step further. I think that's who was in the car with Cameron.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, is that her or is that somebody else? Now, that's who she's seeing in the visions. You know, it's her that's in the car. That's who she's seeing in the visions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it her or not? The logical conclusion would be yes.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, with these Marvel things, logic is not always the answer. So
I think if we get any Inhumans, Earth Inhumans, I should say, Terran Inhumans, if you will, they'll be through eternal human interaction, I think. Because the Eternals come from Attila. Attilan? Attilan. And that doesn't necessarily need to stick because the Inhumans come from Attilan. I said Eternals. The Eternals are on Earth. They never leave Earth. Right.
So let's just roll with this for a second. Now, let's just say now, because the reason why I didn't want to like say, all right, that's her. That's Aisha, the great grandmother.
Yeah.
Because Cameron says that's my mom. So, but yeah, he said that. Yeah, he said like that's my I say well, meet my mom. So he's like, so that would make her very, 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 very old, but she looks great. So, but that could be A, she's somebody else, or B, maybe she's got this inhuman thing or eternal slash inhuman thing going on here, right?
Maybe the Kingo thing goes down the line further back, much further. Maybe he found Aisha and was like, "You're my blood," gave her the bangle, and it unlocked her inhuman or her eternal gene, whatever it is, unlocked the power inside of her. And that's why she's as young as she is, because he helped her, and because no one else in the family has used it, and that's why she's able to look so young.
Yeah, there has to be something if that's her.
Yeah.
If that's her. Like I said, that's why I was like, all right, if that's his mom, then that may not be her great grandmother. But we'll see. There's the smart money says that, yeah, that is her, but I'm not sure yet. She could be somebody else. But wow, that's okay.
The gist of the hot take is that she's of Kingo's lineage.
Yeah.
And that's how she has her superpower.
Want to tell us about your other hot take there?
Okay. Yeah, which got ripped out of my hands, because I was like, as soon as Cameron rolls up in the school and starts talking to her, I'm like, this dude, come on, really? Like, he's okay. I'm gonna say this, and I don't mean this to sound bad, because I'm not saying that. I mean, she's 16 in the show, and young. Okay, she's an attractive young lady, but a senior coming in, doing flips off of a garage roof, driving around in a, what was that, a Maserati? I didn't even see the front of the car. It was a really expensive car. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Driving around in that thing, he's just going to roll up to this school. All of a sudden, new student rolls up, and he's, boom, all of a sudden, he's interested in her. Again, I don't mean that to sound negative to her, because possibly, okay, they have the same ethnicity, interests, potentially, that kind of thing. But just didn't seem to jive with me. And then he's like, it's just fishy. It was fishy to me. I'm like, something is not right here. He is totally like, I thought he was with the Department of, what was it, DODA? Is that what they're called?
Department of Damage Control.
DODC. Okay. I was like, maybe he's a part of that. I did not know that that was going to be his mom. I was like, oh, okay, they're going that route. But
yeah,
I thought this dude's some kind of spy, and he's trying to get information out of her. When he rolled up and picked her up, I was like, that is way too convenient. Way too convenient. Oh, I just happened to be right where they're like attacking you. But yeah, I was like, this dude's a spy, which was then revealed. Like, yeah, I'm glad she didn't try to like kiss him or something like that, because they could end up being related, and it would have been like a Luke and Leia situation. Awkward, but but they didn't take it that far. So
yeah. So
that was my other
when
one.
You told me I didn't watch the episode before you told me that. But yeah, you said, yeah, something, my hot take got ripped, and then when I was watching it, I'm like, I probably know what hot take is going to be. And
yeah.
And when they did it, because I was thinking too, when I was watching it, like, this is just too convenient. Like, it's obvious that he targeted her.
Yeah.
You know, the way that they met, like, conveniently bump into people. Oh, here's my number.
Oh, the cops rolled up to this party. Hey, you and all your friends, get in my car. What?
You three. Yeah, not you three. Not
you,
anybody.
Very specifically,
else.
You people, because let's hop in the car. And hey, let me put my phone number in your phone. Bye, guys. It was nice meeting all of you. I'll call you later. You know, like,
yeah.
And here I am. I'll let you drive my expensive car.
That was pretty clear.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even call that a hot take. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a hot
take. I was like, but then when it got to the end, I'm like, Jake.
Yeah, I was sitting there, I was like, cool, but thanks, you know.
Yeah.
But the Kingo thing, that was my, they, when they mentioned him, they were like, Kingo. I was like, wonder where this is going.
Yeah. So I'm starting to warm up. I'm starting to get over my powers beef.
Yeah,
if they I'm can starting, Like I said, I'm not gonna like it, but I'm starting to roll with it and accept it.
And if that's the route they go, I can get behind that. I will say it was interesting how she was creating those step platforms. That's not normal for her. Because she has like the lengthened legs and everything like that. So I think that's typically how she gets up and around things. So
Yes.
okay, that's different,
Again,
but
like yeah, I'm not thrilled about it, but like I said, I'm getting used to it.
yeah, but when she was jumping through those drones and she made a fist and knocked it out of the air, I was like, that was
Yeah.
cool. Liked it. She was really good at you like getting through those things, like popping them and getting over the cars and all that. That was pretty neat.
It seems like when she's more stressed, like she seems to have greater like control when
Oh,
she's
sure.
like when she like has to do it. Like when she has to do it, like
Fight or
she's got
flight.
it.
She's not thinking about it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She's not in her head about it.
Yep.
So that might be the key to like controlling whatever this is exactly. Like you can't think about it too much. Kind of like I guess kind of like, you know, being a Jedi. You can't, you know.
All right.
You have to feel like you have to, you know, you have to feel the force
Yeah.
flowing within you. Like you can't think about it a lot.
And she had a
So,
lot of time to practice too. They showed her practicing a whole bunch.
yes.
Learn, you know, like making the platforms and all that, and so that was interesting.
Yeah. Another initial thought, I thought the soundtrack is fantastic in this show.
I agree.
I'd love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I love how they're mixing genres, like, you know, pop, but also kind of that Middle Eastern, you know, pop rap stuff like that too. So like I was like when they the one of the lead off songs was Feel So Good from Mace. I'm like, this is 90s hip hop, 90s bad boy. I'm like, come on now. Like
I
you
was
have to be of a certain age to appreciate that song.
100%. I was sitting there
Like
listening. I was listening, and I was like, okay. And I'm like grooving in my chair. Like,
Yeah.
okay.
Like yeah, you have to be of a certain age to appreciate that song in particular. I will say I'm happy about this episode because it looks like they're starting to turn away or starting to shift a little bit more towards the mystery and the origin of her powers and going that route versus the high school thing. Like I get that's her character, but like I'm all right, let's move forward. Like, you know, I don't watch those shows for a reason. Like, you know,
They'll bring it
I'm
back. They're
they'll bring it
gonna have,
back, yes, but
yeah.
I'm glad that they're starting to shift away from that and shifting more toward the all right, the nitty-gritty superhero
Sure.
part of the story.
It was almost like in the first Spider-Man movie from mind blank. Please tell me his name.
Who, which
He
spider
just did Doctor
the
Strange.
first Toby Spider-Man
Yeah.
Toby Spider-Man movie?
The director. Give me the director.
Raimi.
Thank you. God, I couldn't
Yeah.
think of his name for the life of me.
Yeah.
Oof. That first movie, it started off with a lot of high school
Yeah.
in school stuff, and then as soon as he got his powers and he got out of school, like they didn't go back to it.
Yeah.
So something potentially similar there. I think they'll go back to the school because
Well, yeah, they have to at
yeah,
probably at some point.
a bit,
You
just
know what I
to
mean?
show that
But
awkwardness, like how she had like her nose was flaring and then it was her hand.
yeah.
I will say the one thing I am appreciating now, when I talked to Val about this, she made a good point to get behind the authenticity of the information, but they're doing, as far as I can tell to this point, a very good job with telling the Pakistani background, like bringing up the partition, which
Yes.
I was not aware of.
I had the
I mean, yeah, I mean,
Wikipedia that.
now I shouldn't say that I wasn't aware of that's what it was called, when it happened, etc. I knew Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India were all separate. I knew that it had happened. I knew it wasn't a friendly type thing.
Yes.
You know, it was pretty bad, but I didn't know that's what it was called.
Not me.
I don't know
like
about
I,
it.
I had to pull up the old Google machine
yeah.
and you know, look it up. So
yeah.
But I guess that's a good thing too. Like, all right, you learn a little bit of history.
Yeah. So that was interesting. It was also interesting with in the mosque with the divider between the women and the men.
Yes, and that was one of my big highlights of this particular episode. Like they're really doing a good job of staying true with, you know, with, you know, Islam and Muslim mm-hmm. culture, like that division yeah. between men and women. And even though that they're in America, like that still exists, and in other countries, like that's even more prevalent. And
sure.
You know,
and that her friend, her best friend,
Nakia.
Thank you. God, yeah. Again with the names tonight. I am just
dude, that, I have my days. Dude, I have my days like a lot of times where I'm like, I'm thinking like, who is this member that
yeah.
I know their name? I've known their name for like, we're good friends. I've known them for 4 years and I just blank out.
And I'm just like, I'm really good with names and faces, like really good at it. And when I can't remember or I blank, I get mad at myself because I'm like, damn it, you're better than this.
Yeah.
Thank you. So Nakia, when she said she was going to run for was it the board?
The mosque board.
Yeah, when she said she was going to run for the board, I was like, this is awesome. Like, they're bringing like traditional and old fashioned, you know, like you said, like Muslim, and they're bringing it to now.
Yep.
You know, so I thought that was very, very interesting. I feel it's being very well done. I, like I said, I want to look up to make sure of the authenticity, with how they're portraying the culture. Mm-hmm. I would imagine now this is where people get into trouble. They just assume things are correct, you know? Oh, hey, yeah, this has to be right. Cause they wouldn't have put it out if it wasn't. And that's not true. That happens a lot. There's a lot of incorrect information out there that shouldn't be out there, and people should do their due diligence. So this is like I should do my due diligence to make sure it's authentic. I don't want to just give, you know, the assumption that Disney did their homework correctly. I imagine they did, but
yeah.
But I'm still gonna, you know, look into it. Maybe I'll see if if anybody I work with, because I do work with a number of people who are Indian, Pakistani, Sri Lankan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I know some of the things that I do, like I said about that. But I may ask them if they're watching the show to be like, hey, is this authentic? What do you think? Just to make sure. Anyway,
and I think
I spent a lot of time saying that I should just do my homework.
Like you always say. Do your homework is the bottom line,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen. But I think though too, with like that, with the women's and, you know, like equal treatment, like I think that goes beyond, you know, the Muslim culture too. It's like very significant in our own culture, like women getting equal pay and, you know, women's voting rights, like suffers, like Nakia was I was thinking when I was watching her when she was talking with
Uncle.
Kamala's dad
yeah.
about getting the vote. I'm like, man, she is a snake.
Yeah.
She's absolutely right though. I mean, yeah. Like, what do you say to that in response?
I'm just like your daughter. I'm basically like your daughter. You want to crush your daughter's dreams?
And then like Gary gives her like the puppy eyes, but like the puppy slash snake eyes at the same time.
Right.
It's like, and then he's probably thinking like,
his best friend, like, what are you doing? Like expecting like, hey, I'm running, you know, I'm going to get it. You should just back me because you know, it's worth it. You know, it's like, well, hold on a second. If you've been running unopposed.
Yeah.
So my position's good.
Yeah. And then she just puts her button on his plate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for Nakia for board. Just walks off. I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, that was probably that was probably my favorite scene of this episode. Was like, yeah, there was a whole lot in one scene right there. So
yeah, because he's so torn in his head. He's like, my own daughter is a very strong, independent woman, and I want to raise her to be that way. But on the other side, there's cultural things, and I have to follow them. It's that, like, that which button do I push meme, if you've seen that one.
Yep. That's, I think that was one of the big themes of this episode.
Right.
So, yeah. That was, I mean, for the most part, for me, like, I cued in on that on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about last week about we weren't really sure between the two of us, like, who her specific villains are.
Right.
You know, like I said last week, you know, my familiarity with Ms. Marvel was through that Avengers Assemble cartoon series.
Right.
And she didn't have a specific villain. She's just fighting whoever the Avengers were fighting. So like, who's going to be her specific villain in this episode? And it's looking like, so far, it's setting up to be the Department of Damage Control. In WandaVision, like,
government Sword.
Department? Sword. Yeah, Sword. Yeah. So yeah, it's looking to shape up to be something like that. Now, right. could we get a double pump fake in a reverse? Maybe. Or Marvel middle finger? Maybe.
Marvel middle finger, definitely.
But that's that's looking like that's how it's going to be set up. So I was like, all right, you know, it's looking like there's going to be they're the villains for right now.
Yeah, and I'm curious. So I'm going to do a quick look up to see. Actually, I'm gonna put Rogue Gallery.
And then, I mean, for me, otherwise, I'm just getting excited about, all right, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty powers, superhero side of things,
right,
of the show. I also think that, you know, Bruno's a little, you know, he was a little jealous. I think he's got a thing for Kamala. Like, I think it's more than just his friends, thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's in the friend zone, but he's trying to get out.
Well, I think he's seeing her with Cameron and not realizing who he is, thinking, oh, she's interested in him. They share cultural similarities, you know. Now I'm torn between going to college or staying here, going to this program over the summer, or staying here, yada yada.
Yeah.
Need to tell her. She's off with him. Do I make the decision? So it's going to be one of those.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, oh, Cameron is now blood related, and how could I think like him like that? You know, and she's going to go back to Bruno, and he's going to be like, you're into him. I'm already decided on where I'm going to Caltech. And she's like, wait a second. You know, it's going to be one of those things, I think.
Yeah.
And scene.
Yeah. And I mean, just from life experience, if that's the decision, Bruno, you gotta stick with it, man.
Yeah.
Go to Caltech, man. Come on.
Right.
Come on, man. But you know how these movies and stuff go, you know.
Yeah.
Smart decision. Go to Caltech, Bruno. But
anywho, I'm going to make a quick aside here. I'm in this thing about Ms. Marvel's 10. It says the 10 lamest to coolest comic book villains. And there's one called The Inventor, Doc X, Dr. Faustus. And then there's one, it just says The Government. it said now this is interesting. There's been no one more disruptive in Ms. Marvel's life than the actual U.S. government. And it says
there you go.
She went back to school and she did something happen. It said the law ban, so they created a law called Kamala's Law. This law banned any underage superhero from operating as a vigilante without a mentor. So that's interesting.
That's law. Right. What? You need a mentor. Like, so right. Who's the mentor going to be?
Right.
What? Okay.
Her great-great-great-grandma.
Well, I'm talking about, like, just the law and that law in general. Like, are you right. As a government, like, are you assigning mentors? Like,
yeah,
you
who have is this, her superhero
you mentor? Have this Rolodex of superhero mentors?
Right.
What?
I'm seeing a lot of Roxxon being mentioned in these. Cradle is a security force. This is interesting. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Arguably Ms. Marvel's most dangerous villain because she really liked him, Cameron.
That's
the two developed a close friendship and bonded and eventually dated, too. That is when she learned he was an Inhuman as well.
We're going to get a double pump fake in reverse here. Ah,
oh man,
here we go.
He could move between his human form and a body made of glowing blue energy. Oh shit.
Okay, Feige, where are you going with this whole Inhumans bullshit? Okay, so I don't get it. This is really grind my gears. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go. Like, all right, so you're going to pull
an Inhuman. You're going to learn human before X-Men? I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm like, oh my God, the irony. Like, come on, can we just have the X-Men? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Roxxon is her number two villain on the list.
I swear, if they make Inhumans out of this.
They're not going to be Inhumans, though. They're going to be Eternals. I'm telling you, man. They'll call them Inhumans eventually because they're humans descended from Eternals. And that's how they'll go with the Inhumans. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. That's my straight up hot take. So Kingo she's descended from Kingo. And the Inhumans will be descended from a human eternal interactions. Boom. There's my hot takes.
Okay.
That's how they're gonna play it. Sorry. I can tell you're not happy.
Then after this show, after this show is done, Ms. Marvel. Oh, Disney now confirms Inhuman series. Coming soon in 2023.
No sign of the X-Men. You're going to be searching for a new apartment tomorrow after you destroy this one in the middle of the night after the show.
I won't be a happy camper.
Yeah, I know. I will be right there with you. As much as I want to see Marvel content being used, you know, using as much as they can, I'm itching for X-Men to show up. Now, we've talked about it, and yes, do it and do it right, but do it. Just do it.
I saw Dark Phoenix in the theater.
I know you did.
I paid money for that.
Yeah.
I feel like I deserve something for that.
I feel like we all deserve something. because that happened. I mean, Fantastic Four, the second go at it, that happened somehow.
That's another one too that I'm really starting to get, you know. Like, I know they want to, like, I know with that, I know John Watts, he pulled out for directing that movie, so they're looking for another director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. They're looking for a director. That's another one that's really starting to get on my nerves too. It's Fantastic Four. Because, you know, in light of, all right, the OG Avengers, they're done. Let's get a new thing going. Like, you know, I don't need any Avengers stories right now.
Right.
I'm very much enjoying this non-Avenger team-ish route that we're going in phase four.
Sure.
But let's lay some groundwork for other avenues.
Right.
Fantastic Four is another one where, okay, I know you want to bring the Fantastic Four to the movies. Great. But can we like start to get some seeds, you know, dropped and,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like something.
I agree.
You already got your Reed Richards. You got your Reed Richards.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like for that, Fantastic Four is a lot easier to drop than X-Men. Because it's an established team. Boom. There's four of them. They have Dr. Doom, you know, Silver Surfer's associated with Galactus. They have all of that, okay? They've got the Skrulls in the universe already. Super Skrulls also a thing. You know, and so they've got ways to do it. All they have to do is be like, boom, Fantastic Four. Here they are.
Yeah, and big you already movie. Established boom. Reed Richards in another universe.
Right.
So you can establish Reed Richards in this universe and have them go up into space. Because we got S.W.O.R.D. established, right? Yeah. So,
or do they come back from across the multiverse?
They don't need to.
No.
Like you can establish it. You can establish it right now. Like, you know.
Sure.
They may be established in other universes already, but you can establish them in the MC in 616 right now.
Sure. But how do you say that they exist without doing an origin story and like all of a sudden like, hey, Dr. Reed Richards goes up into space and the blip happens and all of a sudden they come back as the Fantastic Four? Like that seems lame to me.
Well,
you go back in time like Captain Marvel and you know, all of a sudden
we had the astronaut that Monica Rambeau was talking about.
Yeah, right. That was never explained.
So yeah, that was never explained. So they could like flesh that out a little bit more.
Sure,
like they laid groundwork. Seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, so anywho.
But do they go back in time and say, hey, this is like a Captain Marvel type thing?
They can figure it out.
They went up into space and oh my god, they got their powers and now they came back. You know, like
yeah,
they can figure it out. But it's easier for them to do that than X-Men, because X-Men is huge. There's so many mutants. Yeah, yeah. You've got your basic, you know, you're not your basic. You have your usual suspects. You've got some more obscure ones. You've got some ones that would be fun to introduce to make a different run of the team, pull away from some of the usual suspects. I don't know, but make it interesting. You know, start off with a few, pepper them in here and there, that kind of thing. I think it's a lot harder because I want it done right. I want it done right. I don't want it to be like, hey, we dropped the X-Men and all of a sudden the MCU crumbles, you know, as a thing.
Yeah.
So they got to do it right. But I feel like them doing Fantastic Four and saying, yep, we're doing this and we're doing it now. And like, okay, where's the X-Men? They've got to do it right. So they can start peppering them in here and there before doing like a full-fledged X-Men movie whatever. Give us a few. And yes. You've already shown that Professor X is there. Because you've shown Black Bolt, you've shown Reed Richards, and Professor X. Captain Carter and Rambo, not Monica. Again, Maria. With the same names. Thank you,
Maria. Yeah,
you've got both of them are already established in the MCU, so that's nothing new. It's just that okay, Maria Rambo became Captain Marvel instead of Carol Danvers, which I mean,
right.
In the comic books.
That's what I was saying. Anyway. Like you already have your actor as Reed Richards. If you want John Krasinski,
yeah, right.
You already have him. You can just have him being in the MCU. Maybe he's not Mr. Fantastic yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But he's there.
And
right?
I,
you know what I mean? So,
and I have to go back. I made that theorem about John Krasinski being Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Kind of doesn't hold too much water when you look at Spider-Man No Way Home because you had three different Spider-Men. To be fair, you could say that they did that intentionally because they wanted to get Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield back, and it's a big hype mm-hmm. thing. Fine. But it's not like we saw three Tom Hollands.
Right.
So they could pick and choose how they want to do that. Do we use Patrick Stewart? Or say, we're using a different guy because he's younger, and that was an old version of him. Okay, different actor. Okay, we're going to use John Krasinski because we established him. Got it. Are they going to use Anson Mount as a Black Bolt? Do they go a different route because, oh, he blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But
yeah,
I wanted to clarify that because I thought about that later and I was like, well, Peter Parker was three different people. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, well, I mean, that's all I pretty much got on Miss Marvel.
Yeah. Now that I looked at the Rogues Gallery, God, I am dying to see Roxxon too. That's another thing. Like, you know me, like Howard the Duck, Roxxon, there's things that I want to see. And
yeah,
if Roxxon is such an established thing with Ms. Marvel in the comics, come on, give it to us. You've already laid the groundwork in Loki. You showed a Rox cart mm-hmm. store.
Yep.
Give us something Roxxon in this show then. Fine. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the ones that own or back the DODC. Cool. But I do have one more thing Marvel related to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you be the judge of this if it's hot take or not. I don't remember if we've talked about this before. I feel like we might have. But I'm going to say it anyway. And you can just tell me. You can just tell me. No, we already talked about that, Jake. I'm like, okay, fine. But I was thinking about Thor Love and Thunder, which got my ticket. Singular.
Yep.
As usual. But I got my ticket for that already.
Yep.
And I'm thinking of Jane and how in the comics, as Mighty Thor, she has cancer. Yep. Right? And if they're going the route of this cancer, is the reason she has it because of the ether?
Yes, you talked about it. You said that. Yeah, you did that hot take.
Okay.
You did that take. You did it a few episodes ago.
Was it a few episodes ago? Like I was telling you, I was doing my my little side project, which I'm not going to reveal quite yet.
Yeah, we talked about that a few episodes ago.
Yeah, as I was doing that and I was looking at the Reality Stone in the ether and her, I was like,
"Yep."
Oh, the introduction of that and removal of that could potentially be the source of her cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we talked there. About that.
Okay, yep. Good. Thank you for clarifying that for me.
Yep. I forget which episode, but we did talk about it. You did mention that, so... all right. Are we ready to go to the galaxy far, far away?
I think so. So at this point, we're done with our Marvel portion of the show. For Bullseye Rye.
Oh.
This is Hot Take Jake. If you're signing off here, thank you for listening. And as always.
As always.
Hold on to your butts.
Boom.
Boom. And here we are. Back in action. About to talk about some Obi-Wan episode number 5.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I'm not even going to ask you how you felt.
Wow.
You know what I mean, I'm just going to say how I feel.
You do it.
I feel like this is some of the best, if not the best, Star Wars content we've had.
Okay.
I mean, I know everybody loves Grogu, right? Everybody loves Grogu. Mm-hmm. Grogu, Baby Yoda, yeah. You know, Vader's my guy. Vader's my guy. I told y'all last week, Vader's my, he's my avatar on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's always been. I'm into the Vader comics, and Vader's probably, he's one of my top villains of all time, of anything. Like, yeah. You know, superhero movies, story, whatever. Vader is one of my top villains because of what he was and his fall.
Yeah.
That makes him one of my top 3 villains of anything.
Yeah.
I would probably say my Star Wars characters in the overall Star Wars universe, I would probably put them in number 1. You know, if I put him as a top 3 villain of anything, he'd probably be my number 1 character.
He's going to be up there with Chewbacca for me.
And
R2-D2, honestly.
Yeah, yep. And we see Vader in all his glory.
Oh, yeah.
In this series.
Now,
I told you when I watched this episode, it was at like 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
And I have 2 new neighbors now.
Oh, boy.
One on both sides. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
You're just gonna be like, "Hey, did you guys watch that new Obi-Wan episode?" And they're gonna be like, "Oh, that explains things."
You know, like when he force held the freighter,
mm-hmm.
I was like, "What the bleep!"
Mm-hmm.
So loud.
He was a man on fire walking through that camp, just flinging doors open.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. And he didn't even like stop and like and do it. He just like mid stride was just like, get back here.
And you know how other people use the force when they're doing that type of shit and they're all straining, like, I can't hold it.
He showed a minor amount of strain.
It said the most minor. The closed captioning, Vader straining. It said,
yeah, I saw that too.
Captioning. And I looked at like, well, is he really straining right now?
Because
he doesn't look at it. He doesn't, you know what really
my thought? My thought there was,
what?
Have you heard him breathe? He always sounds like he's straining.
He always sounds like that. Yeah. I'm like, is he really straining right now? Because he doesn't really look like it.
No, he just.
You know what I mean?
He had to use some.
It may be a little harder for him, yes, sure. But he's not straining right now, I don't
right.
think.
Because
he brought it down.
he crashed it down and tore it apart.
He brought it down. Like, yeah, so, yeah, like I said, when you see other force wielders do stuff like that,
yeah,
they pass out. And, like, they're all weak and stuff like that.
I watched
He brought it down and then start ripping doors.
I watched that part, like, three or four times. And the second time I watched it, you can see the ship in the background.
Yeah, you see the second freighter.
Like, first I didn't see it. I was like, well, wait,
yeah,
where the
hell
did they come from?
Either.
The second time you see it hiding.
Yeah.
And when he ripped that thing down, I mean, I was just like, oh man, look at him go.
I text you, this is Miami Heat Vader.
Yeah.
If you remember my if you're listeners, if you remember my analogy, like this is Miami Heat LeBron James, like what he was, like that was peak LeBron James. Like this is Miami Heat Vader. That's why I texted.
Yeah.
And then
the
so like my favorite
say
My favorite before this series, my favorite Vader moment was actually in Rebels. And I think I probably said this on the show.
Oh, yeah.
When he, with
Ezra?
The one ship. Yeah. One ship.
Oh, no. Okay.
When he, it was like one of the initial, the first episodes he was in season one. When he, in one TIE fighter, he took down the whole fleet.
Yeah.
Of Rebels, basically. In one, with one ship. That was like my favorite Vader moment.
My favorite Vader moment in Rebels was when Ezra says, "I'm not afraid of you," and he says, "Then you'll die braver than most."
Yep. That was some cold.
That's an epic line right there.
That's why Vader's probably he's my top Star Wars character. Like I can't get enough of Vader.
Yeah.
But dude, have we ever seen a lightsaber battle?
Can you call it a lightsaber battle? Because he didn't draw his lightsaber.
I don't know what you call this.
I would call that a force. You could say Jedi Sith, whatever.
Lightsaber battle without a lightsaber.
He was force stopping her swings. She stood no chance.
I don't know what she was thinking.
So first of all, "I'm gonna sneak up on him and scream swing at him," like, what the hell is wrong with you? You need to sneak up, put your saber like right into his back and just activate it. Like, that's what you need to do. Because I mean, maybe he'll stop it from opening, but I mean, you stand no chance when you go and swing. He's just gonna be like, "No, I'm sorry, this is not happening." He doesn't even have to try. He just brought a ship down with his bare hand.
Yeah.
And you think you're just gonna like slice across him? No, he's not gonna let that happen. Yeah. Like, the disrespect in that battle was there.
Like,
oof.
A lightsaber battle without a lightsaber. And then, you know, the whole swinging lightsaber thing, like he stopped it, broke the lightsaber in half. And like, you know,
first of all, she swung at him and he stopped it and then he flipped her over.
Yeah. And but, then like he has both sides of the lightsaber. And then like he like tosses her one. Like, come on.
Like sure, better. Here, pick that up. Like, we'll fight with your
do
stuff.
Better. Like, yeah, do better.
I don't even need mine. I'm not even gonna give you the decency of I'm not even gonna give you the honor of fighting me with my own blade.
Yeah, right, exactly. I'm not even gonna pull mine out.
Yeah. He's like, "I don't need
this
one
is beneath me."
Oh, right, you have now. Two now? I'm gonna take both of them and then I'm gonna give you one back. And I'm going to fight, and then, "Oh, you knocked mine away? Well, I'm just going to take yours right out of your hand. Oh, and I'll just pick this one up, too, while I'm at it." Like, geez, old man.
That is just prime time Vader. I was all over that.
Yeah.
I
had to rewatch that part, like four times. Because yeah. I'm sitting there like, wow.
I am officially making my plea. I don't want to see a season two of Obi-Wan. I would rather see a six episode Vader miniseries.
Hey, I think that'd be pretty cool
because the comics are so well done. Like,
I don't think we see him again in this show because what I think is going to happen. Uh-oh. Here we go. Uh-oh. So Reva is not dead. Obviously, this was not the first time she's been stabbed through the stomach by Anakin.
Obviously.
He probably stabbed her in the exact same spot too, I bet you.
Okay, wait, time out.
She's gonna be like, "It's the same scar."
One second. So do people in Star Wars universe is the stomach like made of different cells or something like that?
Go for the heart.
Because I feel like there's been a lot of people who have been stabbed in the stomach.
Yeah. And just left to die.
and they're good.
How do they
Fennec, Shand, like, you know,
let me
now she
point
got
let me
modified, of course, but I
sure.
mean, still.
But let me point this out. That lightsaber is probably going to cauterize anything.
Ah, that's true. Yeah, if you're thinking the whole
So
physiology thing, yeah.
you're probably
Yes.
going to bleed because it's an open wound.
Yeah, but you're not bleeding out like that.
Right. I mean, it's going to cauterize the entrance and exit. I mean, if it's going straight through, there's a lot of stuff moving around in there, so it's going to keep bleeding and keep moving. It's not going to quite heal all the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's going to, I mean, you cut off a hand, it's like that's cauterized already. Boom. You know, like
Yeah.
it's I would imagine. But you know what
Yeah.
also gets me too is there's so much stomach stabbing, cutting in half, limbs removed, all that stuff. And then in A New Hope, Vader hits Obi-Wan in the shoulder and he just disappears. Like when I first saw that movie, I was like, oh, is that what happens when you get hit with a lightsaber? Apparently not. It's not normal.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know why people were freaking out, like, oh, they killed Grand Inquisitor. How is it canon? And like, dude, like, have you not watched the Star Wars thing ever? Of
Yeah.
course he's not dead. Of course he's gonna come back.
I did the whole I feel like when I was watching this, I did the whole Leonardo DiCaprio point to the screen at that point when his head showed up, I was like, there he is. He's back. Look, oh my God, everyone thought he was dead. Nope.
Don't know why people were freaking out about that. Like,
I at first I was like, time out, because
no.
he's supposed to be alive in Rebels.
Yeah.
But then I was like,
Yeah.
he's not dead.
Come on, it's Star Wars. Like, yeah.
If Dave Filoni had any involvement in this, he's probably like, yeah, go ahead and stab him. But remember, he's still alive.
But yeah, right.
So what I think is going to happen, she's stabbed through and through by Vader, left to die. She finds that little clip from Obi-Wan's little, whatever you want to call it.
Hologram thing,
How,
yeah.
yeah, his holo card or
There's a
whatever.
name for it, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, holodeck, whatever it's called, with the message from Bail Organa. And it's like, okay, he mentions Tatooine and the boy. And Owen, didn't she, he said Owen Lars too, right?
He said Owen.
Yeah,
I don't think he's, yeah.
so Reva,
So she knows Owen because
she
of
is just
their
gonna,
first encounter.
she's going rogue. She's not even gonna tell Vader where she's going. She's not even gonna talk to him. She's just gonna straight up go there and take Luke captive somehow. And Obi-Wan's gonna have to go to Tatooine, and he's gonna have to fight Reva, and he's gonna kill her. And the mystery of who is this boy is going to die with her because she didn't tell Vader. And Owen Lars is gonna be like, oh, that threat is real. And Obi-Wan's gonna be like, yeah. Which is why you should let me train him when he comes of age. And okay, I understand, old man. Go back into the desert. And that's how it's going to end. That's my thought.
We're going back to Tatooine,
Yes.
obviously. Reva's going back to Tatooine. I think yes.
She's going, yeah, she's gonna go
Well,
after Lar Owen
yeah.
Lars, and it's gonna be a full circle event where she's gonna like maybe she pulls him into the square and like starts yelling loudly like she has been doing, and Obi-Wan's gonna finally
I
step
think
out and defend the
but I
people
think
of
we see
Tatooine.
Vader one more time though. We see him again.
Maybe that's how they set up season two.
There's a rumor on the street I saw somewhere
Oh.
that this last episode is going to be like 90 minutes long.
Okay.
I would be all for
Sure.
that.
Yeah.
So if it is that long, I think definitely we see Vader again in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, they have to tie up the loose end with Leia. This is obviously where she gets her spark for rebellion. I mean,
Yeah.
not that it wasn't already born into her because sass much, but this gives her like the oh this could be a career path, you know, like I went on a ride along with a couple rebels. hiding out from the Empire. This could be a thing.
Yep.
So they got to tie that up at the end. I bet you he gives her like a, if you ever need me, you know where to find me. And it's going to come back to bite him in the ass, you know, like, oh, I did tell her that, didn't I? Damn it. So that's, I think that's going to be a thing. If they, I hope they do that. Please do that. If they don't, I'll be like, okay, that's fine. But if they do it, I'm going to love it. I'm like, Obi-Wan, you dog.
Yeah.
But so they they've got to tie that up. They've got to tie up the loose end of Reva because she can't really exist beyond this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
She knows too much.
Yeah, that's true.
And she's not in Rebels, so she's not a thing unless she gets like reassigned to a different thing and not with these Inquisitors. I don't know, but
yeah,
she's not going to be a thing.
The secret has to be kept one way or another, whether by death or something.
Right, right.
So,
that's got to be tied up. And if they decide to plan on a season two, they've got to do something to set that up too. Maybe we see Vader again. I'd love to see Darth Maul. End it here. Give us a flash forward. End it here with a Darth Maul encounter, please.
I would love to see Maul.
Yeah.
Too.
Live
action.
To do it right, though, in canon with Rebels.
I think we'll probably, in my opinion, Maul will probably, if Maul is in live action again, it'll probably be with something else. It'll probably be more Kira involved.
Right, right.
You know, it won't be like with this storyline.
Right.
Think, if we see him again in live action. That's just my opinion. I would love to see the Obi-Wan Maul face off in live action, but
that'd be cool.
But it's
so short that
yes,
they can't do much with it if they want to keep
they can't.
Rebels canon because
and they don't really do a lot of live action animation crossover.
Right.
The only thing is the Order 66. That's like really the only thing that we really saw that and have seen. That's crossed over.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I did see something. Hang on, let me pull this up because it's relevant.
Uh-oh.
So it's an article. It's on Inverse.
Mm-hmm.
And this was from 3 days ago. And it has to do with how the show Obi-Wan Kenobi solved a big Star Wars prequel mystery where Anakin says Obi-Wan was holding him back. So it says here that scene where Anakin and Obi-Wan were fighting, not fighting, they were sparring, had to have taken
Obi-Wan.
Well, throughout the episode, basically, like how it just kept like showing pieces.
Oh yeah, 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 right, right. Right.
So
I'm just wondering where you at, like in this show, in this episode. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was wearing his Padawan braid.
Yep.
And someone pointed out that they're using their pre-Revenge of the Sith lightsabers. So this scene took place before Attack of the Clones. Well before the Clone Wars, but before Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
And that happened because in that episode, Attack of the Clones, Anakin says, Obi-Wan's holding me back. And he thinks it's because he keeps telling him, if you keep... Where did he say... He said it in Obi-Wan. He said, I'm ready for the trials. And then he says, your need for victory, Anakin, it blinds you. You're a great warrior, but your need to improve yourself is your undoing. Until you overcome it, a Padawan, you will still be. And they think that that line is what he means by Obi-Wan's holding him back.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Like, Obi-Wan won't let him become a master or do the Jedi trials because he's telling him, you need to overcome this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting that they you know, this article kind of like, hey, this is where we pinpoint that this happened and this is kind of what it means. I thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. The prequel fans are getting their flowers here during this series. I did think it was kind of funny though that I thought that they should have maybe de-aged him a little bit, because you can clearly tell, like,
oh, he's older.
He's old, yeah, right. You know, I think they should have de-aged him a little bit. Like, it didn't need to be
a little bit more. I feel like they did a little bit more.
Yes.
And I wonder if maybe they tried to and they were like, no, it just looks too wrong.
Yeah.
But he does look, he does look horrible.
No, I'm not saying that it looked horrible, but like, I was like, I just thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, that's 2022, Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Definitely not early 2000s or, yeah, man, that was early 2000s. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Right. Now, what's interesting,
so I guess,
is
for 20 years, he's not doing that bad.
Right. You know? Right.
You know,
I wonder, I mean, that had to be really cool for the two of them to get back into costume and interact together as a pair.
Yes.
So
I was thinking, too, that we were going to see, because I was saying that maybe we would see a Clone Wars flashback, but we actually got a pre-Clone Wars flashback here. You know, and I thought it was cool, like when this episode opened and I'm like, Coruscant.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we're in a flashback. I was like, yes, we're getting a flashback because we got Coruscant. Yes. So
yeah, it was interesting.
That was cool. Yeah, I appreciated that flashback and how it tied into the current events and the current mindset of Vader. And the current flow of the action. I thought that was brilliantly done using that flashback to narrate the episode.
Yeah, to show that, you know, that the two of them still are playing their sparring battle, you know, mind games with each other.
Yes.
Like thinking, like he's like, he knows that I'll try to defend all these people, and so I have to surrender, you know?
Yeah. Obi-Wan's still the master. I think that's what it showed. Like,
he found the high ground.
You had to go there.
I did, and he did find the high ground when the ship was destroyed. He took off.
Go there.
Always
went there.
He always finds the high ground. I will say, and I saw this. Someone had posted this, and I agree with it. So it's not an original thought, but I'm going to be disappointed if they don't do a hello there, at least once.
Well, they missed the opportunity when they met Freck.
Sure.
When
that's
Freck
a good
was
spot.
Like, hello. When Freck was like, say, I thought that's when they were going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people thought, too.
Yeah.
Say hello, Father. And he was like, hello. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Throw a there on the end of that.
Like, director should have been like, cut. What are you doing?
Yeah. McGregor. Come on. Yeah,
like,
that should have been done there. I think it would have been funny if he would have walked up to the gate when he was talking with Reva, and he would have like leaned against it and would have been like, "Hello there." Something.
They're gonna, yeah.
She'd be like, that, "Spare me the small talk, Obi-Wan."
Yeah, the Freck thing. That's where I was disappointed. I think there's a meme on it too.
Yeah,
like that was their prime spot, and
yeah,
they really missed out.
Or
like
if you,
some, like, I'm surprised
the first
nobody
time that him and Vader met, and he would have like General Kenobi, he would have been like, "Hello there," like do it in reverse.
Wow. Yeah. So,
wishful thinking.
I'm considering this episode a banger. For me, the whole Vader did it for me.
Yeah.
Vader did it for me.
Yeah. Vader once again stealing the show, kind of like Rogue One.
Yeah.
Just,
and
man. And I mean, the episode that we got, it was not episode 4. Was it episode 3? No. It was episode two where... Was it episode two where him and Obi-Wan fought the first time, or was it three?
That was three.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty crazy seeing him in action there, but this was much better.
This was way better.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan seems to have his groove back in terms of the Force.
Yeah, he's getting
it. He's Force pushing, and he's, you know, deflecting, you know, blasts with his lightsaber. It seems like
when he hit the one blaster blast, he like swung at it, and he did like a leg kick. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He swung and he like hopped. I was like, oh, a little flare there, Obi-Wan, huh?
Yeah, he's getting his groove. He's getting his groove. He's got his mojo.
Yeah. You know? I feel like fighting alongside the I don't know. Can you really call them rebels at this point? Because it's not the Rebel Alliance.
They're pre-rebel.
Yeah,
it's like the pre-rebels. You know,
when he's fighting alongside the Resistance.
I don't know if you can officially call it that yet either.
Yeah.
The pre-resistance.
The pre-rebels. When he's fighting along the pre-rebels.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, fighting against the stormtroopers, he probably felt more like his time during the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
More than ever. This was like a flashback getting the blood flowing again.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, so. I remember doing this stuff. Yeah. It was droids, but remember doing this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. This is. I'm trying to think. How do I want to rank this? And I'm going to wait until the finale.
Okay.
I'm going to wait to the finale. A lot of Mandalorian fans may not like what I have to say.
Now, I will say I have heard, I'm not going to say from who, I've heard unwatchable, I've heard dialogue has been forced and jerky, could have done without it, how are they going to do a season two? Like, I've heard those kinds of things.
About a season two.
Hmm?
I mean, if they do want, like, I don't, if they do a season two, fine, but like, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes.
I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm not expecting a season two.
Yeah, me either.
One, great.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not like, how do they do a season two? Well, every series isn't meant for more seasons, right?
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, let's go back to people saying WandaVision season two. I'm like, there's no WandaVision season two. Yeah. WandaVision doesn't get a season two.
WandaVision season two was Multiverse of Madness.
Exactly.
That was WandaVision season two.
Right.
You know. But yeah, it's like every show doesn't need a season two.
Right.
Like the story might be told in that season and that's it.
Yeah,
like what? You know,
I mean, we're not following the form here of the Marvel movies where they were like, okay, you get three, you're a three movie deal, Iron Man, Thor,
especially getting a four. Especially when we're in a set timeline, where, okay, we know what's going to happen afterwards, some years later.
Yeah, so... the phase one through three structure of having like. A trio of movies. Even the Avengers technically had a trio of movies. I mean, Infinity War and Endgame were part one, part two. We know that. So that's a trio of Avengers movies. I mean, I feel like they could kind of do away from that even. This next phase. I mean, we're getting into Marvel now. Jeez, oh man. We're on a Star Wars part of the show. But I mean, they don't need to follow that structure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Obi-Wan doesn't necessarily need a season two.
Like,
if they
want to
do it and it works, then fine. But,
like I said, I would much rather have a Vader miniseries, like a Vader series.
Yeah.
Six episodes of Vader. You know, that's what I would want. Because I think, you know, that would give Hayden Christensen and an opportunity to kind of shine a little bit
yeah
more
You know,
and
I would like to see them do that with Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, and then
I
yeah,
like
you can
Dr. Aphra.
That, yeah.
Because I'd love to see, was it BT and 000?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You can pull that in a live action in a video series. So
those two, oh my God. Great.
So yeah, you can pull that in a live action Vader.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what, because we know what Obi-Wan, you know, so the season two, like he's supposed to be protecting Luke. So like it wouldn't make sense that he would be going off planet a
right.
lot. You know what I mean? He's not doing all these adventures and stuff, you know.
Right.
When he's just supposed to be posted up on Tatooine.
Yeah.
You know.
This show, if it's a limited one season show, was meant to show that Obi-Wan got his mojo back, found his place.
Yes.
That was it. That was the point. You don't need like Obi-Wan, we need you for another mission. Oh my God, I'm trying to retire here. Yeah. You know, like
he's already on my mission on Tatooine, and Jedi are supposed to be hiding still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you watch Rebels, the Inquisitors are still out there looking for Jedi. So it's not like, you know, the Inquisitors are going to be over with after this series.
Right.
So the Jedi are still in hiding.
And if he reveals himself, they'd be hunting him again.
Right.
Like, how is he going to get away from them again without doing any kind of damage?
He can't be doing all these missions and stuff like that, making himself known.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to, I mean, it kills me though that that Vader never thinks to look on Tatooine. He never thinks to look there.
Really,
where would Obi-Wan be hiding?
He really hates that sand, man.
Hey, Anakin, sand. You know? how does he not think, hey, one of my best friends, my former mentor, who mutilated my body and left me for dead, is hiding my children that I don't know about. And where's he hiding? Oh, yeah. Let's check Tatooine at least once. Like, seriously. That alone right there is like, come on. He'd never go there. Come on. Yes, he would.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think this is a, again, I'm going to wait to the finale to tell what I think, how it is versus Mando.
Yeah.
Because I think it's already, in my opinion, it's already better than Book of Boba.
Oh, I agree.
Mando, I'm going to hold off until I see the finale. But yeah, I think
at the very least, the Vader scenes have been.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah. You know, so I think that the. I think that I'm a little, I will say I am on the whole Reva twist about how she wants to get revenge on Anakin.
Yeah.
So
I'll say this.
I'm not sure how.
All the people who are commenting on how she's acting,
yeah.
Think about this: you have a youngling who watched all her friends get killed. She pretended to be dead to get away from Anakin. She survived somehow, and ran up the ranks or got involved, whatever, and became one of the Inquisitors to get close to Vader to kill him. Do you think maybe she lacks social development?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's been living as that youngling child in her head. her entire life.
Yes.
She's had to
no,
hide.
I think she plays the character very well.
And yeah. And that explains it. The fact that they show, I mean, you could say, well, she's an adult now and she had to learn how to be, you know, an inquisitor to blah. Okay, sure, yeah, fine. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Trauma does something different to a person's mind and body. She can be older, but she has never left behind that event in her life because she never addressed it. And it's been haunting her. So She's always that child.
Yep.
And to say otherwise and watch how she's acting, I mean, that she's impulsive. She's that's just how she's going to act. So to say that her acting style is choppy or she did a bad job, blah, blah, blah. No, she didn't. She actually did a really good job. It's just like the people.
Yeah, she played the character well.
And it's the same thing as the people saying Hayden Christensen did a bad job as Anakin in the prequel.
Yeah, see, I came around on that. I came around on that. So that's why I think that she plays her character well.
Yeah, like my zoom thing out, is, think about it.
Yeah, my thing is not how she played the character. I think I would have probably rather have the whole revenge thing. I think I would have, I'm not sure if I would have rather seen how they went with it, or would I have rather have just seen her, all right, what's that? Do you know that complex where somebody who gets kidnapped by their captors?
Yeah, it's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. I would rather have seen something like over time, like even though that Vader caused this trauma, like over time, like she, like, this is the way we do it. Like, this is like, I'm all in 100% dark side. Vader's the master. And yeah. Like, I follow Vader. Like I like
this because it shows that no matter how you get into the Sith side of things, there's always that bit of good or that bit of you that wants to rebel it. There's always that bit of good, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she wants to get revenge on him.
Good. I think it was just revenge.
Yeah, like, that's definitely dark side material.
I'm not sure if it's good. Like, I think it's just like she's just like pissed off and wants to get back at him.
Yeah, she wants to get back at him, but she wants to get back at him for killing her friends, and so maybe she's doing it for her friends, kind of too.
Yeah.
There's always a bit inside of people that it's like that's why the Sith would never win in the end, because they're always trying to like outdo the other or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I don't
know. She should have came up with a better plan. Goodness gracious. You've been around Vader for this long.
Well, you know
how powerful the guy is. You're not just going to sneak up on him.
We didn't see her perspective from the whole thing, but I imagine if they put a camera with her and showed what happened from her point of view, she probably saw him storm off and was like, now's my chance. And she chased after him. And he's flinging doors open and she's running behind him. And then she comes around the corner and she sees him struggling to pull this ship down. And she's like sneaking up behind him like, okay, where's Obi-Wan? I thought Obi-Wan was going to be here. And then she sees the ship take off. And now he's standing there and she's like, he's going to wonder why I'm here. Maybe I should just do it. Bad judgment. But you know what I mean? Like totally coming around that corner like, uh-oh, Obi-Wan set me up. You know?
No, I should be... And she'd be, oh no, they got away.
Oh, sorry, Lord Vader.
Sorry, Lord Vader.
I'll get them for you. You know, why is your lightsaber in your hand?
What had happened was,
like, right. Yeah. I was prepared. I came around the corner thinking you might need backup.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to kill you. Yeah, she kind of, oh man, when she reached behind her and grabbed it and then she went to swing, when she went ah ah, I was like, no. You don't yell. You don't yell. He probably already knows you're there, but you really gave yourself away there by screaming before you swung at him.
She figures probably, you know, I'm probably going to, this is a losing battle anyway. So let's just, you know,
right. It's just me.
Let's just give it one good, before, you know, this happens.
Man, and why go for the big swing? Why not just stab? Go forward. Then he has to either get out of the way or prevent your lightsaber from opening with the force. A stab is a much more effective move, as shown by Vader when he took her out, than a big wild screaming swing.
Yeah. So
that was poor to me. I was like, really?
But yeah, this is a banger for me.
Okay.
So
yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd call it a banger for me. I mean, the Vader stuff was incredible.
That's what pushed it over for me. Without Vader, for me, it's not a banger. But
right.
The Vader stuff, I'm like, all right, yep.
I feel like,
and like I said, I did like the, I was expecting flashbacks at some point, and I was like, where are we gonna get them? And then when it opened with Coruscant, I'm like, all right, finally, we got the flashbacks. So
I feel like for me, Episode 3 was closer to a banger because of just how menacing Vader was and how he took Obi-Wan down. To me, that was more powerful. I mean, Vader's scenes in this one, I feel, were better at showing his power as Darth Vader. But that episode, to me, was the culmination of 10 years of rage and dragging Obi-Wan across the cinders. It was like, wow. To me, that was more of a banger episode for me.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah. But I am enjoying the show.
Yeah.
I was skeptical of the show going in. I think we both kind of were. I mean, there was like that excitement, but like, where is this going?
What's he going to do on Tatooine for 6 episodes?
Right.
It is so. But he's off of Tatooine, so.
Yeah, he's doing some James Bond stuff here, just secret running around.
Yeah.
Or maybe Mission Impossible will be more accurate. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, I do not accept it. Well, you're doing it anyway.
Yeah. So, but we got the finale next week, so.
And he hasn't reached out to Bail, so maybe when he gets the Tatooine, maybe he goes there? No, they're going right to Coruscant, aren't they? So maybe he gets to Coruscant and drops Leia off, and he's like, where's Bail? And they're like, oh no, where's Bail? I can't do the British accent really that well. Where is he? There you go. Where is he? He went off to Tatooine looking for you, Obi-Wan. Biscuits. I'll be heading there immediately.
Yeah. And dude, and one thing, like, dude, the plan was no communication.
Yeah.
Oh, it worries me that you haven't reached out. Dude, the plan was no communication.
Yeah, the plan was no communication, and why you're communicating to me when I said you shouldn't, why don't you just not give out so many specific details?
Yeah.
Thought you were better than that, dude.
What the hell, man?
Yeah. Way to just lay your entire hand out there, dude.
No communication.
Yeah.
Because either A, okay, worst case scenario, we're dead, right? Or B, you're screwing the plan up.
Yeah.
Either way, the communication isn't helping you. Like, you ought to be, no Obi-Wan
should have put it. He should have put it on starfighter mode. Airplane mode. Get it? Nah.
Yeah.
To be fair, his communicator should have been on star freighter mode. That's where you go, star freighter mode.
Yeah. When I saw that part, I was like, dude, no communication.
Yeah. Speaking of things like that, what kind of intergalactic cellular plan do these people have?
Hell, I need to get that because this T-Mobile shit is doing it for me. There's like so many spots. There's so many spots I like don't have any service like at all. And here I'm like, man, I thought T-Mobile was supposed to be better when they bought Sprint or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, I feel like it was better when it was Sprint.
What is it, 5G ultra wideband or something like that?
Whatever the hell they claim.
I mean, geez, what are they on? They're like light year. They're on the light year plan.
I don't know.
I mean, nobody does anybody not think of that? You think that like, I mean, somebody obviously. I mean, when George Lucas created this, obviously he was not in a cellular type mindset, but anybody living in this time has got to be like, that would be way too much money for somebody who's hiding out on Tatooine, cutting meat off of a sand manta ray to get by. How is he affording that cellular plan?
Yeah.
It'd be easy to track with GPS, right? I mean, galactic positioning system, not global. How does that work too? Just thinking of the logistics behind it is going to like warp your mind, and you're just going to be like, this, it's already unbelievable as it is, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, how those communications had to be easy to intercept too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting too far into semantics, but still just curious.
Yeah, that little part ground my gears with his character. I'm like, yeah, dude, he said no flipping communication.
Yeah, like seriously. I said,
if you don't hear from them, either A, something went wrong and they're dead.
Yeah,
right. Or B, you're screwing the plan up by doing this.
Right. So the best thing to do is not communicate. Yeah, because if you communicate and someone's like, "Hey, we just killed Obi-Wan. Hey, what's this thing buzzing?" Boop. Oh, that's Bail Organa. Hey, he must have been working with Obi-Wan. Let's go kill this.
Yeah, now you're dead. You know? Yeah, so now you and your wife are dead.
Seriously, you just totally compromised your positions that you've been trying to keep safe.
No
for
communication.
Longer than 10 years because they were working with the Jedi and everything. I mean, seriously. Bonehead.
Yeah.
Not bad form, dude. Bad form.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Well. Well, next week we'll have one more double feature, and it'll be the end of Obi-Wan episode 6. It'll be Ms. Marvel episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we'll have the remaining Ms. Marvel episodes, and I mean, I don't have the schedule in front of me, so
There's a lot. Like I don't even remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do know that Thor is coming July 7th. So
yeah,
I believe Ms. Marvel might finish right before Thor releases. That sounded bad. Let's see. That's episode 2, 3, 4. Episode 5 happens on July 6th. And then Thor is on the 7th, and then July 13th will be the final episode of Ms. Marvel. They seem to be timing these up so like you get the penultimate episode, new movie, and the final following week.
Love it.
Yeah, works for me. So, any final thoughts, co-host of mine?
I'm hoping that what I saw was true, where it's like a long finale.
Yeah. But, I agree.
It's like I said, some of the best Star Wars content we've got. So in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm
really enjoying it. I'm liking seeing Ewan McGregor back in the saddle.
In prime time Vader, Miami Heat Vader.
Yeah, and sassy young Leia.
Yes.
Which has been good. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Well, whenever you're listening to us, tonight for us.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week with Ms. Marvel number 3 and the finale of Obi-Wan season 1 or series finale. We don't know yet, but it'll be that. Yet. So, 4, if you missed it, Bullseye Rye.
Yeah.
This is Hot Take Jake. And as always.
As always.
Hold on to your butts.
Boom.